Welcome to TCC Alive, a podcast of Tulare Community Church.
I invite you to hear now the word of the Lord from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42 says this. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. This is the word of the Lord. Say, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, oh my, what a joyous, joyous morning it already is. We have had laughter, we have had nothing but smiles, nothing but energy and warmth here in your house, this sanctuary. And so, Lord, we give you thanks as we celebrate this, the day of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we give you thanks. We pray for those who are going to benefit from the benevolence offering, for those who have been in hard times and have needed help. Lord, we pray for them, and we pray for those who need help right here, right now. There is no shortage of pain. There is no shortage of need. And so, Lord, we pray that we would be mindful of how you might be using us. And I pray this morning, as we look at your word for just a few minutes, Lord, that you would open our hearts and open our minds to what it is that you have to say to us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to just take a few minutes. Again, we have so much that's going on up here. We still have so much to do this morning. But we're going to conclude our Advent series that we have been walking through over these last few weeks. Advent, this liturgical season, this Christian season that the church celebrates, leading us week by week to this, the celebration of Christmas, the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. And as we've been looking at over these last few weeks, this is a season that so many of us can become kind of desensitized to. We lose sight of what this season is actually all about. In the midst of all the planning, in the midst of all the baking and the cooking and the logistics and the travel, figuring out where we're going, on what day, at what time, we lose sight. It's so easy for us all to lose sight of what this day, what this season is all about. And if you've been traveling with us over these last few weeks, you'll know that we're trying to kind of make Advent strange again. We're trying to make Advent weird once more. Because it is. This is a weird season. We just saw it happen up here, right? Here's this angel coming to this young woman saying, "You are going to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit." And she has to kind of say, "Oh, okay," right? That is odd. That is the supernatural breaking into our natural world. This is a season in which the God of the universe, the creator of all things, the creator of you and your family and your children, the God of the universe, more powerful than we can possibly imagine. Christmas is about that God becoming a human baby. That is strange. So strange. And normally during this season, as we kind of saw up here, and I'm so glad that we had this play, we focus on the details of what happened, right? We look at the what, the who, the when, the how, the where. Mary, betrothed, engaged to Joseph, in the backwater town of Bethlehem, forced to give birth in a manger because there wasn't room at the inn, surrounded by farm animals, right? We look at the three wise men that come, the frankincense, the myrrh, which is a really interesting word to spell, by the way, M-Y-R-R-H, myrrh. We normally look at all of these things, and that's great. We look at the hope, we look at the peace, we look at the joy. But the question that I want to spend, and I promise it's just a couple minutes, the question that I want to ask, and the question that this passage of Scripture answers for us this morning, is why did he do it? Why did he do it? Why did Jesus leave the perfection of heaven to endure the messy violence of human childbirth to become one of us? We look at the what, we look at the who, we look at the how, we look at the where, but why did he do it is the question for us this morning. And we've looked at little pieces of that answer. Why did he do it? Did he do it to offer us a sense of hope? To offer all who would believe in him a light at the end of the tunnel that sin, that death would not have the final word over our lives, over the world itself? Did he do it for peace? To reconcile God and sinners, creator and creation, to restore and reconcile the relationship between us and himself? Did he do it to free us from the apathetic one foot in, one foot out, half living, half dead life that so many of us live if we don't know the true joy of the world? The answer to all of those questions is yes. Yes, he did. Those are all central to the gospel, all central to Christianity, all central to this moment. Hope, peace, joy, God offering all of those things to us in the manger. And yet they're only circling the true purpose, the ultimate purpose of why God would go through all of this trouble. John 1, if you've noticed, it's kind of an interesting passage to look at during this Advent season. There's no babies. There's no childbirth. There's no mangers, no farm animals, no frankincense, no myrrh. But what we do have in the first chapter of John are the first red letters. If you ever read the Bible, if you ever read the New Testament, if you ever look at these accounts of Jesus' life, sometimes you'll see that when Jesus himself speaks, the words are not printed in black ink, they're printed in red ink. And we have those first four words in red that Jesus spoke in this John's account of his life. And he spoke it to two disciples of John the Baptist, who we looked at last week. And they're following Jesus, and Jesus, hear his words. Hear his words in verse 38, the very first words that he speaks in this account of his life. He says to them, what do you want? What do you want? The Greek word there for want is zeteo. What are you hungry for? What do you crave more than anything else? What is the absolute deepest desire of your heart? And I ask you that question right here, right now. I know we're between the play and we're between the choir coming back up here, but I ask for your attention for one moment, that very question. What do you want? What do you, right here, right now, what do you most desire? What does your heart long for? What do you crave more than anything? Do you hope for hope, peace, joy? We all want those things. We want clean clothes. We want a shower. We want a roof over our heads. We want to have a full belly. We don't want to be hungry. We don't want to be cold. We don't want to be cast out. We want these comforts. Those are human comforts, and they're fair to crave. But there is something deeper that each and every one of us want, and it's what the New Testament calls agape. Love. Unconditional. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do anything to deserve it. Love. We want more than anything else in the world to know that right here, right now, right where you're sitting, regardless of how you've lived your life up to this point, regardless of the mistakes you've made, regardless of the mistakes that you're making right now, regardless of the shame and the guilt that you might be bringing into this space, we desperately desire at the depths of our being to know that we are loved unconditionally. Loved regardless of how we've lived or who we are, but loved simply because we are. That is the deepest desire of our hearts. That is what we most crave. John wrote the most famous verse in all of the New Testament in the Western world. So many of you have heard it. If this is your first time coming to church, I know you've seen it on signs and the back of end zones during college football game. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That is why he subjected himself to this. That is why he was willing to go through this messiness to step into the world to become one of us, knowing, listen to this, knowing that this manger was only the start and that that cross was the end. He was willing to give up perfection to step into imperfection with each and every one of us because he loves you. That is what we're celebrating at Christmas. Hope, peace, joy, and love. God so loved the world. God so loves you. Right here, right now, he was willing to give up his own son, not to be born in a palace, not to be born amidst comforts, not to be born amongst riches, but to be born in the most humble possible way imaginable in the backwater town of Bethlehem in the manger because there wasn't room at the inn. God did all of this because the deepest desire of our heart is for us to know that we are loved, and because his desire was for us to know that he loves us. Christmas is about God doing whatever it took to wake us up, to shatter our apathy, to shatter our indifference, and to say, look how much I love you. Look at what I am willing to do for you, not just words, but love himself. I'm willing to give him up. I'm willing to send him into the world to one day die the most painful, humiliating death the world can conceive of on the cross because I love you so much. That's what we want. That's why he did it. And that's what this day is all about. Hallelujah and Merry Christmas. Let's pray together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are here. We have breath in our lungs. We have blood coursing through our veins because you love us. Lord, we are celebrating this day, Christmas Day. We're celebrating this season of Advent, Lord, because you have offered us hope, because you have offered us peace. You have restored our relationship to you through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. You have offered us joy when we share in his death so that we may also share in his resurrection. But Lord, you gave all of that to us. You offered all of that to us because you love us. Because you love each and every one of us enough to send your Son to become one of us, to give up everything so that we might be offered everything. You did it all for us because you love us. Lord, my prayer is that by the grace of the Holy Spirit, every man, woman, and child in this space, if they don't remember a thing from this morning, would remember that Jesus was born, Jesus died, because you love them. You not only love the world, you not only love the human race, you love us individually as the men and women, boys and girls that you have created us to be. Lord, this day is a celebration of you. This day is a celebration of love himself, born in a manger 2,000 years ago to a frightened virgin and a skeptical stepfather. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you want to know more about the ministries and mission of Tulare Community Church, visit us at tccalive.org.